Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. There is a lot of discussion these days on what we are doing to the planet and what it is doing to us. Later in the program, we'll talk with a man who once wondered what the world would be like without us. Now he wonders what will become of the planet with us. But first, do you have an elevator speech? Do you know what an elevator speech is? They say that one of the most difficult things for most people is public speaking, whether it's during an informal presentation or pitch, a social occasion, or a full-scale speech to a much larger group. People fear it. They sweat over it. Our first guest is St. Louis and Fred Miller, author of No Sweat Public Speaking. His most recent book is a follow-up titled No Sweat Elevator Speech, How to Craft Your Elevator Speech Floor by Floor with No Sweat. Fred joins me in studio. Hi, Fred. Nice to see you again.
Nice to be here, Don. Thank you.
What is an elevator speech?
It's that little infomercial that tells people who you are and what you do. And I think we've all been there. You go to a networking event, a social function, or a seminar, and the leader says, you know what, before we get started, let's stand up when it's your turn. We're going to go around the room. Tell us who you are, what you do. Give us your elevator speech.
Sounds like a sales pitch.
It is. It's a way to let people know what you do, so hopefully they're going to want to engage your services, buy your products, or if you're looking for a position, perhaps hire you.
But under what conditions do you do this? I mean, if you're selling yourself, you wouldn't do that under every occasion when you happen just to meet someone. You know, most people I know in elevators don't talk at all.
You're right. They don't talk. There's that certain etiquette, kind of like a ATM. There's actually two groups for the elevator speech. The first one, you go to a networking event, and you want everyone to know exactly what you do. Clarity is not optional. And you want to know what they do, because if you don't need their product or service, you may want to refer someone. But then a lot of times we'll go to a seminar and they'll say, the seminar starts at 8, arrive at 7:30 and network. Well, in that case, you want to disqualify people. Everyone, to your point, is not a prospect for what you offer. And you don't want to waste major time on minor possibilities. They don't either.
So how do you craft the speech?
Well, you craft it floor by floor.
That's why they call it an elevator speech.
Yeah, I built this elevator speech template based on an elevator, build it floor by floor. Everyone doesn't want to go to the top floor with you. You don't want to take everyone there. But more importantly, I think, speech. As you mentioned in the introduction, a speech is a mini presentation. And my mantra is speaking opportunities are business, career, and leadership opportunities. No one ever challenges that statement. And that has that fear of public speaking.
Well, how do you get over that fear?
Well, you have to face the fear and do it anyway. There's a number of ways to do it. I think one of the best tips is to meet people as they come into the room. It's so much easier to talk to someone when you meet and greet, like you came out and greeted me here. The other thing, and I guess the silver nugget, is practice, practice, practice. And the other one is just do it. Speak, speak, speak. The learning is in the doing.
But, you know, when I greeted you here, I said, hi, Fred, how you doing? Good to see you again. We'll get together in a couple of minutes. I didn't tell you what I do or any of the other things that
you're
talking about.
Well, you're a celebrity. We know what you do, Don.
Well, come on. You know what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
It really sounds like what you're doing is preparing the sales guy.
It is mostly salespeople who go to these networking events. It's a chamber, it's a seminar, it's a meetup, and you're right. It's mostly salespeople that attend those and want to, you know, network with other people, find out what they do, and let people know what they do.
What are the most important ingredients? I mean, obviously brevity is part of it because
brevity,
you're only going up 8 flights. If you're going up 50, that's different.
Clarity. Maybe the best thing, I'll give you my 8-floor elevator speech.
Great.
It's only 45 seconds. I'm Fred Miller. I'm a speaker, coach, and an author. The title of my first book is No Sweat Public Speaking. Businesses, individuals, and organizations hire me because they want to improve their networking, public speaking, and presentation skills. They do that because they know speaking opportunities are business, career, and leadership opportunities. They also know we perceive really good speakers as experts. We like to work with experts. I show them how to develop, practice, and deliver a knock-your-socks-off presentation with no sweat.
Okay. I'm reading that as Fred Miller trying to sell himself or his product or whatever to someone. What about those of us who aren't trying to sell something, who are meeting people for the first time and have that you know, that self-conscious moment when you're trying to at least make some kind of an impression.
Yeah, you might just want to give the Twitter-type elevator speech. And mine would be, I'm Fred Miller. I speak, coach, and write about public speaking and presentation skills. Yours may be, I'm Don Marsh. I'm a radio show host.
Should we take the initiative with these things or wait for someone else to start their speech first?
Well, it depends. You know, there's a warm-up act and there's the one that follows. And sometimes being first, you're warming up the audience for the ones who follow you. But if you want to know what people do, you ask them. And if you go to these events, it's usually a volunteer type thing where who wants to start?
What about some of the ingredients in this speech? And I know in your book, I've read it, and you have a number of ideas. I mean, you go from the way you dress to inflection to any number of other things, and we'll get to some of those. What are the key ingredients in crafting this speech in terms of really selling it, if you will?
Well, I think clarity. So I say I'm a speaker, coach, and an author. Somebody should think, what does he speak about, what does he coach about, and what has he written? And that's good because this is not selling. You don't sell in an elevator speech. If selling is to occur, it would occur later. And then I say businesses, individuals, and organizations hire me because. That's a change of what most people do. Too many times people say, I work with companies. I help people. Hire me says, I'm proud of what I do. I'm good at it. And you know what? There's some money attached to it. And if that's a disqualifier for some people, that's fine. Everyone's not a prospect. And then you want to establish your expertise. And I would say, you know, the title of my first book is No Sweat Public Speaking. We perceive people who are authors as experts. We like to work with experts. And it could be a number of things. Years in business, family-owned, patents. Maybe you named some structure that people are familiar with that you had a hand in building.
Well, it sounds fascinating enough that I understand that some colleges and universities these days are actually teaching this sort of thing.
Well, sure. It's great for people who are going to graduate because they want to network also. And you don't have that. You only have one chance to make a first impression. And when they go out and meet people, they want to have folks refer them. They want to be able to refer people. And when they meet those potential employers, they want to make a good impression upon them.
Well, someone told me very recently that over at St. Louis University, they actually have a contest involving this sort of thing.
I heard about that. I was actually at Soldan on a voluntary committee. I think I met the fellow who had that up. More and more people are doing that. The elevator speech, it's a struggle for a lot of people, but I think if you want to get a job, you're selling yourself, maybe not a product or service, you want to let people know what you do. And clarity and succinctness is important, and you want it to have an impact. I think if you have a way of ending with a tagline, mine is no sweat, and if you think about in your industry, if it's Sunday, it's meet the press. Mm-hmm. Zig Ziglar, the famous motivator, used to always sign off with, I will see you at the top.
Right. And I think of Paul Harvey, as long as we're talking broadcast.
Yeah.
'Cause I know pausing at the proper place is something that you have as your recommendations. And, of course, he made the pause a classic part of his presentation.
Oh, he was tremendous. The rest of the story.
Right.
Wasn't that his?
That's right.
Pausing is really important. I'm glad you brought that up. Because too many times when you're nervous, you speak too quickly. But pausing lets your audience, even if it's one-on-one, think about what you've said. Sure.
In your book, the elevator speech is paramount. That's what you're talking about primarily. But you also spend some time talking about a speech before a much larger group. Now, I have to assume that the approach is different. Or is it?
Well, a little bit different. You have any presentation, and an elevator speech is a mini presentation. There is content and delivery. Content is your message. Delivery is presenting that message. Of the two, delivery trumps content. We believe what we see and hear. On the delivery side, there's verbal and nonverbal. So delivery trumps content. On the delivery side, verbal and nonverbal. We're on radio, but we believe what we see. So the delivery of that elevator speech is far more important than the content of it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that then and the nonverbal part of it.
Well, the famous one, well, let's talk more recently. When President Obama was debating Romney, he almost blew it. He seemed aloof, disengaged. You and I both remember when Richard Nixon was debating John Kennedy, that was the first presidential debate televised, black and white. Dick Nixon was one of those folks who had a 5 o'clock shadow at 10 in the morning. He didn't want makeup. He sweated. Kennedy, back from vacation, looking young and fit and tanned. People who saw it on television said, I would never vote for that crook, Nixon. People who heard it on the radio, Nixon's my man.
They thought that Nixon had won that debate.
Oh,
there's,
yeah.
There's no question about it. What about your own personal presentation in terms of how you look and how you dress and that sort of thing?
Well, you want to stand with authority. You want to have confidence in your competence. The way you deliver it, people will realize if you're an expert. You know, we sum up people right away in a New York second. That's why you want to have the cover of a book look good. You know, don't judge a book by its cover, but we do. The same with an individual. In fact, it was on NPR, and I actually had to look this up online. There was a high-end piano contest. These are concert pianists. They videotaped it. Two audiences judged the videos. One had sound, one didn't. The group that saw the video without sound picked the winners. I had to go back and look that up online.
Yeah, I heard that the other day as well. That was quite fascinating.
Yeah.
Quite fascinating,
yeah.
Indeed.
Especially for a radio guy.
Why are so many people afraid of that public presentation, whatever form it might be?
Well, the usual answer to that is, why not? You know, if you think about it, most of our conversations are one-on-one. A lot of those are on the phone. And more these days, people communicate by texting or email. Well, it just stands to reason you get up in front of 10, 20, 50 sets of eyeballs. It's like, whoa, you're out of your comfort zone. So you can get over that by doing it. But there are three reasons to have a fear of public speaking. If you don't know your subject, don't get up and talk about something that you don't know well. If you don't know the structure of a speech, you can learn the structure of a speech. It's like the recipe for a great cake. Specific ingredients at specific times, you do specific things to them, and you get a great cake presentation. And the other thing is if you haven't practiced, practicing is not optional.
How do you practice? In front of a mirror?
In front of a mirror, into a recorder, videotape yourself in front of friends and family, join Toastmasters. The analogy I always try to make is we just had the Olympics in Sochi. Does anyone think those great athletes just showed up for their game, meet, or event? Same thing with musicians, singers, actors. They rehearse and rehearse ad nauseum. You know, even bands that have been together for 30 years will rehearse before a concert.
I think Malcolm Gladwell says you do something 10,000 times.
10,000 hours, yeah.
And you'll be much better at it. Obviously, who wouldn't be after that amount of time? We have to take a break now. We are talking with Fred Miller. He's the author of No Sweat Elevator Speech, How to Craft Your Elevator Speech, Floor by Floor, with, of course, No Sweat. Back to continue the conversation in just a moment. We have a few minutes more with Fred. If you have a question or comment you'd like to bring into the conversation, do so at 382-8255. Back in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. We'll continue our conversation with Fred Miller about the elevator speech in just a moment. But here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. Missouri will conduct the first U.S. execution tonight since Oklahoma's botched procedure last month. 46-year-old Russer Bucklew's attorneys have appealed to the 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals to halt his execution, which is scheduled for 12:01 a.m. on Wednesday. They say Bucklew suffers from a condition that can cause weakened and malformed blood vessels. And the Missouri State Board of Education is expected to vote today on recommendations regarding the unaccredited Normandy School District. The district is in danger of going bankrupt due to student transfers that have taken place this year. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day at our website at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to Fred Miller and the elevator speech. Fred, I'm going to move slightly away from the elevator speech to the more formal presentation.
Okay.
Because there are a couple of things here I think people would want to know. And one of them is, and you deal with this in the book, is interacting with the audience. How important is it and how do you do it?
Well, it's very important, Don, because if you don't interact with them, they're going to lose you. Our attention span is not all that great. One of the things I'll try to do is say, does that make sense? And you look for feedback. Always take the temperature of your audience. Even though you're the only one speaking, look at their eyes, facial expressions, body language. Things like, who has a fear of public speaking? Raising your hand will get more people engaged in that. Sure.
One of the things you say in the book is to find one or two people in the audience and kind of focus on them.
You want to find a friendly face. You want to make eye contact, finish a thought, move on to another friendly face. You'll get energy from people like that. And if you find an unfriendly face, look at someone else. Mm-hmm. I mean, people bring all kinds of stuff to seminars. Maybe they had to be there. Maybe they had a fight with their wife at home. Maybe they've got a bill due. Don't take it personally. You know, look around the room, finish a thought. You don't want to stare at someone, then look at someone else.
One of the things you're doing as we talk here, and of course the audience can't see it, is you're using a lot of gestures. You're moving your hands a lot.
Sure. Gestures, facial expressions, body language. Again, we believe what we see. People have three learning styles. Visual, that's probably 85% of the people, 65%. Auditory, hearing, that's 35%. And 5% kinesthetic. If you can combine two of those learning styles to your audience, and you're talking about the larger presentations, that increases the odds that they get it. And that's one reason people use props. One prop people are familiar with is PowerPoint. Unfortunately, most people use it incorrectly. They put bullet points on the PowerPoint screen.
And it doesn't work very well for radio, I can tell you that.
No, it doesn't at all.
A couple of other things I want to get to regarding props and other things, but let's bring in Jeff calling from Creve Coeur. He wants to make a comment. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I just wanted to relate a story. It was not a figurative elevator speech. It was a real elevator speech. I met my wife 24 years ago in an elevator, and I had to act quickly because I was on the first, well, we got on the first floor, and it turned out we both lived on the third floor, and I hadn't met her before. So I obviously did pretty well. I closed the deal on three floors, and we've been together ever since. What's really interesting about it, though, I didn't know about it at the time, but her grandparents had also met in an elevator.
So it actually happens. Jeff, do you recall what you said your to-be wife during those three flights up?
Well, to be honest with you, we both lived in Chicago, and I was coming back from a Cubs game. And, of course, when you go to a Cubs game, you have to be drinking a little bit. So I guess I was able to talk without any inhibitions. And I just basically said, you know, I'm coming back from a Cubs game. I didn't know you lived on the third floor. I don't think my evening's over. I'd love to have you join me.
And she did, and the rest is history.
She knocked on my door 15 minutes later, and, you know, it took 5 years for us to get married. But, you know, obviously I said the right things at the right time.
Obviously. Jeff, thanks so much for the call. Well, Fred Miller, what do you think?
Well, that's a great story. And we're talking about presentations. The body of a presentation is make a point, tell a story. I'm going to tell Jeff's story about the ultimate elevator speech and how you wind up with a wife. That's great. Yeah.
There's your next book.
Yeah. Personal stories. Nancy Duarte said this. She's the one who did the slides for Al Gore in Inconvenient Truth. Personal stories are the emotional glue that connect your audience to your message. And you want to tell your stories or stories like this that you've heard, because too many people tell the Edison persistent story and stories we've all heard before. You want to tell your story.
You know, we talk about fear and the fear that so many people have with regard to public speaking or presentations. What about shyness? I mean, Jeff indicated that he had attended a ball game and maybe had a beer or two, and that perhaps got him over his shyness. But how do you do that?
I think for some personalities it is a stretch, and they just have to face the fear and do it anyway. One of the other fears people have about any kind of presentation is, what could I possibly get up and say that anyone would have any interest in? They don't think people would have an interest in it. But I think that's incorrect. I think everyone has something that would be tremendously interesting to talk about. That's what my experience has told me. A quick story. I teach a class at St. Louis Community College, and I have a special class, two nights, inner city church ladies. I speak the first night. They come back the second night, give their presentations. Blew me away. Really, really fantastic. But one lady waits to the very end, walks to the front, says, oh, I don't have anything to say. And she started to sit down. And I said, wait a minute. Didn't I hear you earlier telling your classmates that you talk to your kids every day? She says, I do. I said, how many kids do you have? She said, well, I've got six. I said, wow. I said, what do you tell them? She said, well, I tell them to stay away from gangs, don't do drugs, work hard. I said, what are those kids doing today? She says, well, let's see, 4 in college. I said, stop. You have 4 kids in college? She said, I do. I said, I got to tell you, there are probably kids in your neighborhood who don't go to high school. You have 4 in college, and you told the class you don't have anything to talk about? We got to hear that story. And that happens all the time.
One of the things you say is practice, practice, practice. Get it. But what if what you're practicing is not very effective? I mean, how do you determine the effectiveness of what it is you want to say?
Excellent point. You need an audience. That's one reason to join Toastmasters. That's one reason to get friends and family together. And you don't want just kudos. You want them to hopefully sandwich it. Loved your opening. You need a little help in the body of the speech. Make a couple more points and tell a story. Work on your conclusion. Yeah, you can't do it by yourself. You're too close to your own stuff.
I'm going to take one more call. As time will allow only one more, I believe. Jerry and O'Fallon joins us once again. Go ahead, Jerry, but it's got to be quick.
Sure. I just want to pass on a 15 years spent as an instructor to people who had to be there. And to keep things interesting, I got this from a magazine article, of all places. When you write your presentations, it's like a newspaper. Have a headline, a subtext, and then have the body. And it was kind of like, boom, the headline, get their attention, subtext, this is what I'm going to tell you, and then give them the details, and then move to the next arc. And that seemed to work pretty well.
Great. All right, Jerry, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Want to give a critique of that, Fred?
No, that's excellent. You have to have a structure to what you're doing. Otherwise, you're just wandering around. We've heard speakers speak and go on and on, repeat themselves. No, you have to have an impact.
You know, just somewhat counter to what you're proposing in your book, I remember reading Dale Carnegie years ago, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and he said the most effective way to do that is when you're talking to people, talk about them, not about yourself, and they'll wander away saying, that was a great conversation.
That's right. People have a little sign with them, what's important to me. That's that radio station too, right? People want to talk about themselves,
right?
Sure.
And it seems to work. A final thought you want to leave us with, Fred?
Face the fear and do it anyway. Realize that there are two parts to a presentation or an elevator speech, content and delivery. Delivery trumps content. Practice, practice, practice.
That's Fred Miller. Thank you so much. The title of his book is No Sweat, Elevator Speech, How to Craft Your Elevator Speech Floor by Floor with No Sweat. Coming up, population pressure, a cautionary note. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.